You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Earlier this year, Belgium's Minister of Justice, Kern Gens, announced that three popular video games, Overwatch, Counter-Strike Global Offensive, and FIFA 18, were in violation of Belgium's gambling legislation. The announcement, made as a result of an investigation conducted by Belgium's Gaming Commission, has added a new dimension to a series of questions New Zealand officials have just begun to ask themselves. Do the mechanics of modern video games constitute gambling? Does that make these video games illegal? And if so, what should be our response? At first glance, conflating video games with gambling might seem ridiculous, but look a little deeper and the claim seems less insane. In recent years, there's been a shift in the video game industry which has seen game developers lean more on so-called microtransactions. These microtransactions are small payments made after the game is purchased, usually for in-game items. So, after buying a game, a player might pay $2 more to wear the latest costume, or $5 to download a new level not included inside the base game. With this move towards favoring microtransactions came a move towards incorporating loot boxes. Loot boxes are a microtransaction model, which sees a player pay a certain amount to receive a random reward. The model is popular with developers since the random chance element of the loot box means there's no guarantee a player will get exactly what they want when they pay for it. Mean that, more often than not, if a player wants a specific item, they'll have to pay more than once to get it. But this random chance element, coupled with the fact that the items players receive often have a real monetary value, has raised concerns about the ethics of these practices. In Counter-Strike Global Offensive, for example, the loot box microtransaction model appears in the form of weapon crates. Weapon crates, which are bought with real money, give players a randomly selected skin, which can be sold to other players within the game. Unfortunately, not all skins are made equal. Some skins are much rarer than others, making them more valuable than their counterparts. Those opposed to loot box mechanics say this is little more than a virtual pokey machine, arguing it creates a system which encourages players to pour money into loot boxes in the hope they'll get rich quick. Even worse, critics say this is a system which is targeted towards children. Critics argue games targeted at children which include loot boxes should be outlawed, but aren't, simply because authorities aren't made aware of them. I spoke to Andrew Frood, Communications Director for Problem Gambling Foundation New Zealand, and began by asking her whether she believed video game mechanics like loot boxes did actually constitute gambling.
You know, it's a really grey area, but to be honest, it's very, very similar. So some of the features of loot boxes are really, really similar to how pokey machines work, and they've been designed to do that for that very reason, to keep people locked into the game, if you like, to keep them interested. So, for example, random rewards have a big impact on our brains. So, you know, they use psychological tricks in those games just like they do in pokies, and the effect on the brain is really well documented.
And one of the main concerns with this is that these video games tend to be targeted at children. In your experience, do you believe that children exposed to gambling at an earlier age are more likely to gamble themselves when they're older?
Absolutely, absolutely. And this normalises gambling for young people. So they see games like this where they can actually gamble, if you like, because it's very, very close to gambling. And it just normalises it, and it's almost like grooming them. So that is of real concern.
And so do you believe that in New Zealand there needs to be more regulation of gambling elements in video games?
Well, I think we need to know more. I think we need to know how much of a problem this really is. But absolutely, I think alongside some research to find out what exactly is going on, I think we need to look really, really hard at whether our Gambling Act and whether our regulations around this is going to protect young people, because that's what we need to ensure, is that young people are protected. So some of these games actually offer, you know, for example, betting on skins or other in-game objects. So it can become a real issue for them. They can also get into a situation where they're spending money, a lot of money, that they can't afford. And often parents aren't aware that this sort of thing is going on.
In your experience at the PGFNZ, have you found any instances in which maybe people are being lured into spending more than they can afford on video games, or people are sort of becoming more and more hooked by that gambling side of the video games?
Yes, anecdotally I can say that, because I know we have had phone calls from concerned parents around getting into trouble with spending more than they can afford and all these microtransactions and things that a lot of these games have to offer. So it's certainly something that is on our radar.
Frood's concern is shared by Maria Bellringer, Associate Director of the AUT Gambling and Addictions Research Centre.
Yes, that kind of normalises it. You get these random chance events in something that is is nothing to do with gambling, supposedly. Especially with kids, they don't necessarily know that. You know, so they think, oh, I've just got to pay whatever. Money doesn't, you know, the value of money. Young people don't really understand the value of money like adults do. So I think yes, that does that is normalising gambling behaviour, and in a kind of surreptitious way.
A lot of these games have over time become more and more geared towards targeting children. What do you think it is about children that would make them especially vulnerable to these kinds of tactics?
Yeah, I think it's like I said, it's that not understanding the risks and the benefits. And it's a little bit like perhaps, you know, for an adult playing a pokey machine. Pokey machines they operate purely by chance, you know, that each spin of the reels, as it were, is pre-programmed by the computer. You know, as soon as that button is pressed, the computer has decided. So there's no element of skill there whatsoever, and yet, you know, people playing pokey machines regularly feel that they may have some element of skill, that if they, you know, they know that, oh, this machine hasn't paid out for a bit, so it's going to pay out soon. You know, these are gambler's fallacies, but even adults can succumb to those. When you've got those gambling type bits embedded in a computer game, it's like that as well. You're playing a game of skill, so there will be some fallacy there. There will be some understanding that you've got some skill to control whether you're going to get the, I don't know what it is they're after, you know, the new skin for the weapon. You know, you think, oh, well, I've paid this much already, so it's bound to come up if I buy another loot box or if I buy another whatever. And yet that's not the case, because that will all be controlled by computers as well. As to, they're not being upfront about it, and I think that's what makes it most dangerous, and particularly for children, because children don't understand odds and risk and skill levels, and the younger the child, the even less they're going to understand that.
So on that, in Belgium, obviously, they've just changed, they haven't changed the law, but they've come out and said that these games are in violation of gambling laws, and that they would like to see the games changed. In your expertise, in all the research you've done looking into how children are affected by gambling, and also what preventative steps we might be able to take, what would you like to see done to try and combat youth being more involved in gambling?
Yeah, I think definitely, you know, our government should be looking into this, because, you know, when our Gambling Act came in 2003, gambling type elements in video games didn't exist, or you know, if they did exist, they were not mainstream. So they weren't an issue. The Gambling Act doesn't cover that sort of thing. Times change, technologies change very quickly, so definitely I think this is something that needs to be looked into. And particularly for the video games that are geared towards young children, I think there should be protective measures in place, and that probably would preclude gambling type elements in the games, just because children don't understand risk and chance.
Both Andrew Frood and Maria Ballringer believe that the Films, Videos and Publications Classification Act 1993 needs to be amended. This act governs how games in New Zealand are rated. Currently, it recommends that the board classifying the game look only at the game's themes, whether it depicts or expresses violence, sex, horror or crime. Both Ballringer and Frood would like to see the extent to which the game endorses gambling included in this list.
95BFM Podcasts. 95BFM is supported by our listeners. Sign up for a Simplicity B-card at 95bfm.com/signup and support independent media from $4.20 a month.